Welcome to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program with your host, Tony Peters. I hope you'll enjoy today's segment.
But the other thing that I really thought was great was you say getting involved. And that getting involved to me is that really important thing. And people think, like you say, you know, it means going missions and yes. going overseas. And it's like, yeah. no, God doesn't have that calling for everybody.
Right.
It could be he asks you to participate in the worship team at church. It could be you sitting on the board at church or a Christian charity. It could even be just discipling or mentoring somebody or Sunday school at church or something. God calls us in many, many ways. And workplace is one of those places where although it's, you know, you can feel that pressure from above that you're not supposed to share the gospel at work. God still is calling us to be beacons for him. So if the opportunity comes up at work, I feel like we as Christians are called to take that opportunity, even if there's going to be consequences, mm-hmm. Because God's got our back. He'll get us yep. through and provide for us. And he will, if that opportunity arrives, we should be willing to just be like, okay, God, help me in this situation.
Yeah.
Help me to be a good representative for you and to say what you want me to say. Not what I want to say, but mm-hmm. what you want to say. Mm-hmm. And that willing heart is one of those things that really comes down to it. And as with King Jehoash, not selling yourself short, basically, because that's what he did. He was like, okay, well, I think this is stupid, but okay, you said to do it, so I'll do it. Right. And that was why he stopped at three, which is why it was kind of like you didn't do it with a heart that was like, okay, this is what God's asking me to do, this is what I'm going to do. It wasn't that heart that he was doing it with. It was with that human fleshly heart that was just like, okay, I guess. And so that was part of what it was, and it wasn't with a willing heart, it was with a begrudging
exactly
kind
exactly.
of attitude. And so I love that's kind of what you get to in the book. And I have a feeling what the answer is going to be to this question, but I do want to ask you, if people could take one thing away from Arrow Striker, what's the one thing that you really would like them to take away from the book?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is I want people to know that their life matters, and that God wants to use their life to make a difference every single day. And whether it's the big, huge calling that God has, or whether it's just the small, subtle, everyday moments of opportunity right in front of them, that he does want to use every believer's life ultimately to get a victory for the kingdom and to fulfill his purposes. You know, the crazy thing about God is God is all powerful. I mean, he's the creator of the world. He's so powerful. He's all knowing. He doesn't need people, but he wants relationship with people, and he wants to work through people in order to fulfill his purposes. That's how he has set it up from the beginning. And so while he doesn't need us, he wants to work through us. And so for people to realize that their lives do matter in the overarching purpose of the kingdom, and that he wants to use us right where we are. And so my hope is that people would just see the difference that they can make. And even like this woman I described earlier, who was stopping short of what really God wanted to do through her life, my hope is that people will see ways that they can grow in their walk with God and be used by God in a greater way to fulfill his purposes for their life as well. And you know, one of the things I love about the book is actually the stories I share in the book. There's lots of cool stories of people, just everyday people who had a difference, who made a difference with their lives. And the reason I share these stories is because I want people to realize right where they are, as kind of I've already articulated, right where they are, they can make a difference. And they don't have to be the who's who. They don't have to be an influencer on social media. They don't have to have so many followers in order to be a difference maker. I mean, even if they have one neighbor they can reach out to or encourage or help or support, or, you know, that just reaching the one is really what it's all about. And so the reason I share all these stories is because I feel like it's a way for us to help them relate to the fact that just in their everyday walks of life, how God could use them too. And that's probably one of the things I hear most about it is how they really, people like the stories of everyday people. And so that's been kind of a fun aspect.
Yeah. And I think that ties in well with testimonies. Just sharing your testimony, being willing to share your testimony so people can relate to it. And connecting with your neighbors is something undervalued these days. It used to be you knew your neighbors, you talked to your neighbors. If you needed something, you would ask your neighbor, and they would have. I know we lived in a rural community, so maybe it's kind of backwater, but we'd run out of flour, run out of sugar, and didn't want to drive all the way into town, so we just go ask the neighbor if they had some, and we'd pay them back for it or you'd pay them back in other ways by like sending them some of what you were baking. It's just this system of neighborly love that the Bible calls us to. We are called to love our neighbors. We're called to have those kind of relationships with our neighbors. God really wants us to. And I know people, especially people who are up in cities, we live in a city now, you don't know your neighbors as well. We're a little bit of a smaller city, so I do know most of my neighbors. My daughter plays with some of the neighbors, so we've been able to get to know them a little bit through that. But my son also friends with other neighbors, and one neighbor that we have is actually a cadet leader of his. We know her quite well, and her son, and she used to have a daycare. So my kids used to go to her daycare. So, you know, we do know our neighbors here, but I know in a lot of big cities, you don't know your neighbor and you may never know your neighbor. They could be an axe murderer and you wouldn't even know that they're living there. But I mean, you don't know anything about your neighbor in so many cases. A lot of them like never even see their neighbors. They're like New York or Chicago. Like you live in these big downtown suburban things, or Toronto in Canada. You never may interact with those neighbors. And I think that is something that is missed a lot, is that neighborly brotherly love and having an impact right there. The opportunity is right there to impact somebody. They can be literally 6 feet away from you because you could be watching TV in the next room over, because it's the one wall between you. There could be somebody there who has never heard the gospel. And so it's like, we just need to, like you say, be willing to take those opportunities as they arise, get to know our neighbors. Our one neighbor was sick a few months back, she had the flu, and she didn't have any chicken noodle soup or anything like that. And she didn't have the energy to go and get chicken noodle soup. So my son loves Lipton's chicken noodle soup. No, it's not an advertisement for them. They're not paying me to say that, but he loves Lipton's chicken noodle soup. So he makes it, and he adds his own vegetables and everything like that. He sautés them and puts them in and makes it more of a gourmet chicken noodle soup. But he went and brought her chicken noodle soup.
Oh, awesome.
Because she didn't have the energy for that. And then the next time she came and she brought candy for the kids and brought us another box of chicken noodle soup. And we're like, you didn't have to do that. And she's like, no, I did. You guys really helped me out when I needed it. And she is a Christian. But I mean, even if she wasn't a Christian, like just little things like that show that brotherly love. And those are little ministry ways. Like, you don't have to be like necessarily going out and doing huge things. No, there's little things you can do.
Exactly.
People right around you. And I love that you touch on that with so many of the stories within the book. And those stories do help to connect to people. And for you personally, where does the book, why is it important to you? And why is that 2 Kings 13, 14 to 20? Why are they personally important to you?
I think for my own life, as I reflect on my life thus far and in the future life that is ahead of me, I want to know that my life mattered, that I fulfilled God's purposes, that I did exactly what God wanted me to do, and that I didn't miss out on the opportunities that God might want me to step into. And obviously, I think at the beginning of our time together, I articulated a little bit of that journey in my own life where I had decisions to make, and was I going to give it all toward the Lord or not? And so I think that's a continuing theme for me personally. And so as I first really started diving into this Bible story and seeing the core message of what became the Arrow Striker book, I know for me, I really wanted to, I personally want to leave it all on the line for the Lord, so that when I get to stand before God, I want to hear him say, Jonathan, well done. And that you fulfilled my plan. You did fulfilled my purposes.
Well, none of us are perfect, faithful servant.
You know, we're none of us are perfect though, and we have to recognize that. But it's not just about what you do. Ultimately, our salvation is not in what we do. But the intent of this book is not so much as relates to salvation as it is to just help people see how God can use their life. And I just want God to use my life in the same way that I'm hoping to encourage other people. And I don't want to stop short. I don't want to stop short like Jehoash did and only strike my arrows three times. I want to keep on striking and not stop short personally, so that I can have an impact on other people's lives. And whether that's, you know, there's so many ways you can make a difference. I mean, like your example with the chicken noodle soup is a perfect example. It's just an act of kindness. It's showing love to someone who needed it in a moment. And you met that need. And for that woman, it was probably even more encouraging to her than you might even realize. Mm-hmm. And that can happen all the time as we pray for people and support people and encourage people and of course share the gospel and our testimony and all that. So, but that's really why I'm so passionate about it, because I want to live out what I share in the book.
Yeah. And we discussed what, the meaning of the verse was kind of with all of, throughout the book. It really talks more about that. I encourage people to check out the book. I will put a link to that, in the description as well. And I'll give you a chance to give that shout out, at the end, so people remember it. So how do we apply that to our own lives? Again, we've kind of discussed that a little bit, but
sure.
How do we apply that, 2 Kings 13, 14 to 20, how do we apply that to our life and just live out that in our everyday walk? It's something that isn't really complicated. And yeah. I think we overcomplicate it. So do you want to just give that basic breakdown of how we can apply it?
Sure. I think first and foremost, it's important to recognize that God does want to partner with us, that this is a relationship that we have with God. And like I said earlier, he could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants on his own, and yet he chooses to partner with us. And so I think there's something special about this relationship we have with God and how he wants to not only work in our lives, but he wants to then work through our lives to help other people as well. And so the first thing I think is just important for us to recognize that there is this partnership. And so maybe for some listening, you know, maybe today would be the day that you'd say, okay, you know what, I am going to step into what God would want to do through me. And that would be awesome. I hope that you do that. But once we recognize that we are in this particular partnership or relationship with the Lord, where he wants to work through our lives to help others, I think that helps us to begin seeing all the opportunities that are everywhere around us. Because in reality, as we've already discussed, I mean, there are opportunities everywhere. I mean, we don't have to go very far at all to see an opportunity. I mean, you literally could go right next door to your neighbor and have an opportunity to make a difference. So in reality, as I think what I've seen is as I've tried to live this out myself, is I've tried to have a greater awareness of the opportunities that are all around me. We can go into the grocery store and go to the gas station. You can go restaurants. I mean, everywhere you go, it doesn't have to be in the walls of a church facility where a church meets. I mean, it could be all throughout the community. There's opportunity if our eyes are just open and our ears are attuned to the Spirit's leading in a given moment. We never know how God might want to work. And so my whole point of application, I guess, for people is to recognize that God does want to partner with us and give us opportunities. And then maybe the final thing I'd say on that is that what happened with Jehoash is he believed enough to strike the ground 3 times. And what happened, as you find out in verses 24 and 25 of 2 Kings 13, the nation of Israel actually got 3 battle victories. And of course, we know Elisha said, hey, if you would have struck the ground more, you would have completely wiped out Aram. But in this case, you only get 3 victories. And so that's what ended up happening. And so I think the final point of application maybe that I'd want to say today is that the degree to which we believe God will use our lives and help work through our lives is the degree to which we will see the victory come about. So in this case, he struck 3 times and they got 3 battle victories. And so I think my whole point of that, I guess, is simply to say that, you know, if you believe, if you trust that God is going to work through you to make an impact on other people, it will happen to the degree that you believe in faith. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And we know whenever he would heal people, whenever he would do miracles, he would say this all the time. He says, well, it's your faith that has made you well, or it's your faith that has healed you. And so there's something special about the faith of people to believe for the victory. Certainly that would be true in their own life. But even for the overarching spiritual battle that we all are a part of, is the degree to which we believe in faith for God to work through us is really the degree that we're going to see him work through us. So there's something special about our faith that leads to the victory, in situations.
Yeah. And I think faith and, prayer, your prayer life are huge components in knowing and understanding that. We see Saul is a perfect example, and I mean the Old Testament Saul, not the New Testament Saul. Uh-huh. Where Saul, he really tried to put himself and his own ambitions ahead of God's. He started out following God, and he was chosen by the people and by God to lead the people at a time when they were demanding a king. And God's mm-hmm. like, well, I am your king. And they're like, no, we want an earthly king.
Yeah.
And so God's like, okay, here's your earthly king. And Saul was about as imperfect as they came.
Right.
And he had faith enough to, you know, trust in what the leaders were saying, what Samuel and like people like what the prophets were actually telling him. He believed enough to trust that, so much so that when the prophet died, he consults a medium, so he can still yep. consult this prophet who's dead, and he gets rebuked for that. Mm-hmm. And then he also doesn't wait for the sacrifice. He makes the sacrifice himself rather than waiting like he's supposed
yep.
to.
Yep.
And doesn't quite wipe out the entire line of, is it the Ammonites? Is it them? I believe it's the Ammonites. He was supposed to wipe them out completely, but he didn't. He let the king live.
Yeah.
And as a result, that came back in the story of Esther, where we see that line again pop up. And he wants to completely destroy the Jews. And that was a result of Saul not completely following what God had asked him to do. He went part way.
Yeah.
He wouldn't complete it. And that was where David was different. And he was arrogant enough that he would not really fully admit to his sins. Whereas yeah. David,
yeah.
man after God's own heart, sinned yeah. in terrible ways.
Yeah.
And yet he always came back mm-hmm. to God and was like, I sinned.
Yeah.
I am a sinner. Mm-hmm. And even you see the later Testament Saul, who's the exact opposite of the old Saul. And Paul goes, Saul, who becomes Paul, yeah. goes full on into everything. He goes head exactly. on. At times, he goes too headstrong into
yeah. things.
And so it's kind of interesting seeing the two Sauls. I love to compare them because they're the polar opposites of each other
yeah.
in that way. And just the faith that Saul, the New Testament Saul, had, even before he was a Christian, he had a lot of faith in God. Mm-hmm. And in what was right, he was so much so that he thought the Christians were these terrible people because they were going against God, the God yeah. that he had been taught in, which was a God of tradition, yeah. And not the God that actually was.
Yeah.
And then when he changed to the transformation, he took that same characteristic and transferred into his new life with Christ. God's not asking us to be like all of our personalities supposed to change as soon as you become a Christian.
Right.
He's like, no, let's take those attributes that you had before and let's make them so that they're being used for the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
And so many people think that when they become a Christian, you know, I got to change everything. I got to this. And God's not necessarily asking you to change everything about yourself.
Yeah.
He's asking you to take those things and apply them to the kingdom of God and yep. furthering the kingdom of God and doing what he wants you to do and yep. having that willing heart.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something we see it's why Charles Stanley is so effective in his ministry. Even though he's this very popular minister, you read his stuff and he's so humble.
Mm.
It's not about him. He's like, no, how do I help you to further the kingdom of God? How do I help exactly. you to improve your relationship with God?
Yeah.
It's never about him.
Mm-hmm.
He rarely talks about himself and any of the stuff that he puts out. It's usually about other people
yep.
and how God's using them.
Yep.
And how the Bible applies to that. Same yeah. with Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel's great with
great. Oh, yeah.
Check out his stuff. I would strongly encourage you to check out Lee Strobel, Case for Christ, as well as his second book as well. And he sought out not to really tell about God. He was an investigative reporter, knew some forensic stuff too. Like he had an interesting background.
Yeah.
And so he sought out to really just find out what's this Christian thing about, and really he wanted almost to disprove it, and
exactly
in the end he ends up being this person who's like, wow, God is real, Christ was really his son, like wow,
awesome.
And you hear that story so many times where people seek out to discredit Christianity and they really come out being like, wow, like he is so real.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh my God, in the sense of like you're powerful, not right. taking it and using his name in vain, but being like, yeah. oh my God, you are powerful. Right. Like you are so strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amazing how God can just change someone's heart. And that's the impact you can have on someone.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I took out of your book, was that long-winded explanation.
I love it.
How do we go about finding that purpose in our Christian lives when you're walking and you're really just wondering, you know, what your purpose is? How do you go about seeking that?
Well, I think there's kind of two tracks of life that I see. I think for some people, there's a specific calling that they may feel at a specific time. This doesn't have to be a vocational call to ministry to be a pastor. It could be that. But it could be some people feel called to the business world, or they feel called to do some type of a career that God is leading them to do. And I think when it comes to the calling of God, that is unique and different for every individual. And so for some people, there may be a specific calling that you just can't shake. You feel like God is wanting me to do this. And then through that, if that is true, then we have to know that whatever that might look like from a career standpoint or a volunteer standpoint or whatever, that then that means God wants to use you in that particular area of life. I think for other people, maybe the other track of people would be just the fact that everywhere we go, there are opportunities. And so even if you don't feel or sense or believe that God has a specific calling, so to speak, to know that every day he still has a purpose for your life too. And that purpose is to be faithful with the opportunities he puts right in front of you. So sometimes, like whenever people might ask, well, what's God's will? Of course, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, what is God's will for my life? What does he want to do with my life? You know?
Yeah.
And I think the answer for me, one of the answers to that question is very simple. Be faithful with what God has right in front of you. Take one step forward at a time. And as you take steps forward, God is going to direct your steps. And he's going to steer you to the left, to the right, straight ahead, wherever he wants you to go as you're willing to be faithful. But it has to be, you have to have that willing heart. You have to have that, certainly a repentant heart, but then just a heart of surrender, where you're willing to surrender all of it. One of the books I read years ago by Andrew Murray called Absolute Surrender was just a really powerful book just on helping me see how can I surrender my life fully to whatever God has. And so once you get to that point where you have surrendered your life fully to God, then his will is just going to become known every day as you take steps forward and opportunities are right in front of you. And so there can be people who fulfill their purpose through a specific calling, but I also believe all of us fulfill God's purpose just by taking one step forward at a time with the opportunity that's right in front of you. And so, you know, it might be praying for somebody that you talk to. Might be sharing the gospel. You know, of course, there's a variety of ways we've already talked about where you can strike your arrows and live your life with purpose. But I think the point is having that awareness that God wants to use your life and that he's going to give you opportunities. And so maybe for some people, it's a matter of just waking up every morning and saying, okay, Lord, what do you have in store for today? Help me to be aware. Help me to be intentional today and not to allow the busyness of life or the cares of the world or all the other things that can pop up to get in the way of what God might want to do. And that starts with just that intentional awareness of being open to what God might have.
And I think that's very important, the today thing, because I had someone say to me one time when I was interviewing, it's like, so many people are living for the future. You're so focused on the future that you miss out on your opportunities today.
Yeah.
And I think that is one really important thing to remember is the what does God want from me today?
Exactly.
Not what does he want from me down the road, but what does he want from me today? And if you remember that, I think that is going to be so important in helping you in your walk with God. And I think that's important to be able to pray with that attitude and that in mind is I can do something now. It doesn't have to be something for the future. Yes, there are things you plan for in the future. But that even when you're planning those things, there's still things today that you can be doing.
Exactly.
I think that is so, so very important. We are running short on time here, but I want one quick last thing. And that is how can we as Christians maximize our time here on earth?
Sure.
Through the biblical perspective.
Yeah. You know, the three letter L's come to mind for me. First, it's look for opportunities, be intentional, as we've talked about. Second thing is to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the opportunities that he might want to drop in our mind in a given moment to step into. And then the third L is to leverage the opportunities that God does give, because in reality, there are opportunities. He's going to give them to us if we're looking and we're listening. But then we have to leverage it. We have to act. We have to take that step forward. So in other words, like in Jehoash's case, he actually had to take the arrows in his hand and actually strike the ground. In our case, we actually have to, like you said, we actually have to go over to the neighbor's house. The opportunity is there, but it won't realize itself unless we actually leverage it, unless we actually take action. Same thing would be true with praying for someone. I mean, you got to go initiate. And even if you feel like the Lord's telling you to go pray for someone and you're afraid, or you're, oh, I don't know, or what are they going to think? We still have to step forward and take that step of faith. And so that would be true in all areas. I mean, most of the time, honestly, the opportunities that we have, they might fall in our lap, but I think more times than not, there is an action that we have to take. So we do have to leverage that opportunity. We have to take a step of faith. We have to go initiate or open our mouth to share the gospel or to pray for someone or whatever. So there's kind of that action that we have to take. And so I just encourage people, be looking for ways God could use you right where you are, again, without having to drastically change your life. Because in reality, God has actually put them right where they are because he wants to use them right where they are.
Yep.
And so just to look for those, listen to the Spirit's voice, leverage the opportunities, and that's going to help you maximize your life. So that way, when you get to the end, you'll know you held nothing back. You gave the Lord your all, and he will bless you and honor you far greater than you could ever imagine as you look to strike your arrows, figuratively speaking.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually like that. The, look, listen, and leverage. I think that is great. So as I said, we're running short on time here. So, I do want to thank you for coming on, and I want to give you a chance to, give a shout out for where we can locate, both yourself and your book online, so people can read it.
Well, I appreciate that. You can go to arrowstriker.com. That's where we've got the book. We've got, a 6-part video Bible study on there. We've also got, for those who might be pastors who are listening, we've got a sermon series that we've developed on the topic. So that's some other resources that you could tap into. Of course, the book's on Amazon and all the other places you can get books. It's on Kindle, it's on Audible. And so certainly would love to have you pick up a copy. We've just scratched the surface of everything that's in the book. So, and I just want to say thank you to you. I really appreciate the time, and excited to see how the Lord is working through you as well. It's been fun, even offline, to talk to you about how God's working. So I just appreciate the time so much.
Yeah. Again, thanks for coming on. I will put a link to your website in the description so people can find it. If you're on YouTube, BitChute, Spotify, you can find it in the description. So check that out.
Thank you for listening to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program. I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment, and I hope that you'll consider supporting us at Cool Explorations on Patreon, as well as you can shoot me an email at tpeters745@gmail.com if you'd like to support in other ways other than Patreon.